So, but I'll try not to be too long. But our thought today, and it's something I've thought about for a long time, and I'll get more into that here in a little while. But we'll take her where our message is going to come from in our text, like a lot of times I do. But it's called it's David in the Psalms, and he's speaking. And he said, "A broken vessel." And today we realize and we'll go over and read a reading list in just a second. But a broken vessel, if you say a broken vessel, especially in their time, that was something would be pretty much useless. A broken vessel would be something that, you know, if you it's broke, you can't put water in it, you can't use it. It's men in men's eyes, it would be useless. Be no count. Ain't you glad that God don't look at us like men do? And but I want to take very familiar. Most of the time, these are read to do with lost people, and I've read them a lot of times. I've preached to the lost with these scriptures. I've preached to the saved with these scriptures. It's to do with the prodigal son. But I want us to look at something to do with a broken vessel. How this young man, he desired to get his inheritance. And his father gave him his inheritance, and then he went out and just spent it up partying, you might say, in today's sense. It talks, I believe, in the 30th verse about how his brother said he went and spent it on harlots. It ain't no doubt he went out and he lived it up in his mind. But he got to a point that even in man's side, I believe, he would just become useless. He was a broken vessel. And I remember as a lost person, and you can look at it any way you want to today, I was broken. And when you was lost, you was broken. But me and Brad was talking a couple weeks ago. Since I was saved when I was 14, and that is fairly old for some, you know, a lot get saved a lot younger than that. Some 5 or 6 and 7, 8, 9, and 10. But I was saved when I was 14, and after I was saved, I'd like to be able to say I done everything right. But I done a lot more, and I'd done plenty wrong before I was 14. Trust me. But after that, especially for a few years, I guess in a lot of people's eyes, I was just about useless. Pretty much just a broken vessel. And finally, the Lord that saved my soul brought me down to a point and opened my eyes that I could see that I need to return. And there's a lot of us, I believe, go along, this prodigal son goes with us our lives after we were saved more than it does about when we got saved. A lot of us have got out in the world and got down to a point that we were just about felt like we was nothing. And in men's eyes, we were nothing. But God still seen something in us. Ain't that special? But it said, starting in the 11th verse, and it said, a certain man had 2 sons. And the younger of them said unto his father, Father, give me the portion of the goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And boy, a bunch of us has took that journey. And there wasted his substance on righteous living. I know I didn't pronounce that right. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land. And he began in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of the country, and he sent into his fields and feed the swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with a husk that the swine did eat. And no man give unto him. Now I want you to keep in mind that no man give unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hard servants of my father's have bread enough to despair and perish, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I am no worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and came with compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no worthy to be called thy son. But the father said unto his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put on a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For my son was dead and is alive again. Merry. And I want us to really pay attention to where it said no man gave unto him. I believe that he was at a point in his life. It's no doubt. A lot of times when you've got a little money, if you got some money, everybody wants to be your friend. They want, especially when you're younger. If you got access to some goods, everybody wants to be your buddy then. Everybody will want to hang out with you. They want to party with you because you've got the means to get the stuff to party with. But he got to a point that he was broke. He got to a point he had nothing. And when he got to this point, he found himself feeding the swine and desiring to eat the huskies, and they said, no man, give him nothing. I want you to know everybody looked upon him as a broken vessel. They looked upon him as something useless, something no account, just put aside and do away with. And I want you to know, I've been to that point before. I've been to a point to where my neighbors didn't think so much of me no more. I was at a point when I owned my call to preach, there was many people that didn't believe it. It got back to me that one of my neighbors even said, we'll see how this proves out. And I don't blame him. I don't blame him one bit. I understood where he was coming from. He hadn't seen many good fruits of me up to that point, and I understand why he felt like he did. He said, we'll see if this proves out. It come back to me. He even told me years later, he said, we watched you for a pretty good while, wondering when you was going to fall again. They didn't have no confidence in me. And you may have been there, and you may be there now, but I want you to know there's one that does. Here in the 31st chapter of the Psalms, there's a Psalm of David. In the 11th and the 12th verse, it says, I was reproached upon all of my enemies, but especially among my neighbors, and a fear to mine acquaintances. They that did see me without fled from me. I am forgotten as dead. A man out of mind. I am like a broken vessel. He said, I've come to a point that to a lot of people I'm just dead. People have forgotten about me. I'm like a broken vessel. I've become useless. I want you to know how David lost the joy of his salvation. And I want you to know each time, each and every one of us, when we take up with the world more than we do with God, you can't serve God and mammon. When you take and lean back towards the world more than you are serving the Lord, you will get to a point that you feel like you just don't count no more. And if you ain't real careful, even your neighbors will get to the point that they look upon you as being no count anymore. And I want you to know, when you get to that point, you ain't no count to nobody, but God still loves you. And that's what I love. And this thought has been running through my mind for months now. Brother Laird, I've even talked to him about it a little bit. He'll come over and hang out with me over at my old shop. And most of y'all don't know by now how I love to work on and tinker with old saws and stuff like that. I especially love the old ones. I love the ones that everybody has took and thrown away.
I love the ones that where they see no good in it anymore. I love the ones that's been dug out of an old barn somewhere and give up on 20 or 30 years ago. That's the ones I love to fool with. There's something special about them to me. And I know you're going to think I'm crazy and a little silly, but it's spiritual to me. I think of myself when I look at them. When I get one, I dig it out. My wife's brother had a couple old home line saws. And he said, you can have them if you want them, but they ain't no count. He said, they leak gas. They quit running on me. They quit doing it. They're over in the barn. Go get them if you want them. And I went over and found them, and there was hardly any paint left on them. One of them was missing the bar chain. He had just been thrown back in there and forgot about as if he was dead. They'd been forgot about. Useless, a broken vessel. No count to nobody anymore. I dug him old saws out. And I began to work on them. I began to tear them apart. I began to find out what all caused problems in them. I fixed the gas tanks on them. I put head gaskets on them, carburetor kits. I done all I could to fix them up on the inside. And once I got the inside fixed, then I began to work on the outside. I want you to know I've heard Brother Michael I talk about being sick spiritually. I didn't know, may you understand all that, but I believe I do. I've been sick spiritually before. I've been to a point where I couldn't hardly serve the Lord anymore. I got so far away from God. That all my neighbors and my acquaintances, my enemies, would say, he says he's saved. But look at him. Look at him. He says he's been born again. But look at him. Look how he's doing count. Look at him, the things that he's doing. Look at him. That's what my enemy said. And then my neighbor said, no count. And then they finally forget about you. You wonder why the church don't come and talk to you. They forgot about you. You've lost, left their mind. You ain't been so long. You got so caught up in the world. I remember that. I remember. I remember getting to a point that I was so low. I felt like I was no count in everybody's eyes. I was ashamed how I'd lived my life. And still am. But I've let it go. I took him old saws. I got him running. And I mean, I got them running good. You can't find a new one that'll crank any better, that'll cut any better. I took them out, worked on them. And then I began to fix them. I began to paint them. And I got them all fixed up. And I let her brother cut a stick of wood with them. And they just went through it like butter. They're sitting on the shelf there now. You walk in my garage, they're on the high shelf there. I want you to know they're cleaned up. They look good. That's what God can do for us. Not only can he make us a better spiritually, but he can make something that he can set up on a shelf somewhere that men can look upon and desire. Why? Because we're a light that shines out. And when I finished them saws, I cried out there, my God. The first time that old blue saw, the first time I pulled that thing, the first time. I ain't talking about I primed her a little bit, sprayed a little bit in the carburetor. I gave her a yank, and she fired up. Hadn't run in 20-something years. First pull, she fired. I said, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now let me finish, Father. Let me finish it. That's what I want to do. The first time I stood for God, I probably made a mess. But I fired right up. I got up and done the best I could. Ever since then, he's been working on me. He's been tuning on me. He's been shining on me. He's trying to make me into something he can receive honor and glory. And he's doing the same thing for you. Men will give up on you. Men will look down on you. But when I saw them old saws in the back of that old barn, and the old barn ain't in good shape neither, it had rained on them. When I started dating Sheila, who was a 16-year-old, he got one of them saws when he graduated in 1969. When he got out of high school, he cut wood. The old house they lived in was like living in a barn. They probably burnt 15 to 20 rick of wood a winter. When I started dating, we'd take them old saws. I'd pack one of them and he'd pack the other. We'd go up on the hill and we'd cut wood with them. It brought back memories to me. When I saw them, I knew they weren't just useless. They were something that could be made to look like something. They could be made to be used again. Sometimes we forget what God's done for us when He saves our souls. Sometimes it gets far from us to remember what we was. Then He reminds us. It brings us back. We get to a place we're so low. But I thought about also, but since then, what my thought today is how men look at you. The difference in the way God looks at you. How men will treat you, and the difference the way God treats you. I'd preached, I guess, for a year and a half when they went to ordain me. Trust me, I wasn't ready to go cut a rick of wood. I was hitting a lick here and yonder, but I still needed some tuning. And I told them before they ordained me, I'm not ready. I tried my best to tell them, explain to them I didn't need to be ordained. But they wouldn't have it no other way. I wouldn't take nothing from my ordination. When they ordained me, there was churches come that at the time, y'all might have not a fellowship. And once again, I was marked by men. I was trying my best now to do the best I could. But once again, men began to mark me. Yep. Our several told me after I was ordained, you'll never preach in our churches. You won't have to worry about pastoring none of our churches. You won't get to come. Once again, my neighbors, my acquaintances, my family. A broken vessel again in a lot of people's eyes. You can be doing the best you can to serve the Lord. You can go from one extreme to another. I know. I've done it. I went from 0 to 100. First trying to my best to serve the Lord, and men would still look down on you. But what can we expect? What I read to you last week, what Jesus said, all men will be offended in me. I'm nowhere close to my Lord. I sure ain't better than Him for people to look down on me. I thought about the Apostle Paul, and I want to go around and read to you. After he'd got to Rome, he'd made it to Rome, and he'd went there and appealed to Caesar. He had been arrested by his own kinsman, his own brother. They had completely fell out with him. Why? For what he'd done bad? Because he consented unto the death of Stephen? No. That's why he should have been going to court. But that wasn't why he was going to court. He was going to appeal to Caesar because he had served the Lord Jesus Christ. And he'd preached His word. And I want you to know, when he arrived there in Rome and he went to give an account of himself and what had happened. Listen to what it says. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16. At my first answer, no man stood with me. Now, I want you to realize these ain't just men. He took with him his brother, his friends, the ones he had most confidence in. The ones went with him to Rome was the closest friends he had. These were brethren. These were men he felt like would stand with him no matter what happened. Listen to me. When push comes to shove, men will let you down. And he said, at my first answer, no man stood with me when I first gave an account. But all men forsook me. I pray, God, that it may not be laid at their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. Listen to me. This is Luke he's talking about. These were some of the disciples. These were men that he didn't think, no way. I'll be honest with you. I believe in all my heart if it come to it. That Larry, Barry, Johnny, Bill, Mark, Brad, Michael would stand with me. I believe that. But listen to me. If a push comes to shove, if you're not careful, they'll walk to the side just like I would and leave you there in that old barn to just rust and spend out the rest of your days here on this eternity. But thanks be unto God. He looks at us different. Not just something that's useless. Not just something that man looked down upon. Not just something that man give up on. He looks at us as something he can use. That may not mean much to you, but boy, it sure does to me. You've never been eaten with the hogs. You've never been down in the shucks. If you've been saved, you've been there one time. But most of you are like me. You've been there before. Paul said, I pray it's not laid at their account. You reckon he remembered? The one called Stephen. When they stoned him to death, he was just as guilty as the one stole the stone. Stephen there in his dying prayer said,
Lord, forgive them. They know not what to do. Paul, or then called Saul, stood there and heard that. He heard Stephen say, I see Jesus. What did he say? Standing. Standing. Who did Paul say? Notwithstanding, Jesus stood with me. When everybody else gives up on you, Jesus will be there. Brother John's given me several old saws. I got one of them running just the other day. I went out there. It was a little home light, Super XL2, one of them little small ones. I tore that thing apart, cleaned on it, worked on it. I've got it running. I like it. If I don't change my mind, I'm going to paint that one. Just something about some of them, it just stands out to you more. There's something about you that stands out to the Lord. He wants to use you.
Amen.
Some of you cross the country to finally get in you to the place you was eating with the swine, didn't you, brother? That young lady sitting back there, I can't think of your name. What's your name, hon? Yell it out. Ashley. Ashley. I never forget tonight when she come to the altar. She started up there towards the altar and she said, I don't want to live like this anymore. That was the word she said. I don't want to live like this anymore. God took something that no doubt maybe others had looked down upon. And he made her brand new. But listen to me, hon. I'm so proud of y'all, how y'all
Amen.
Keep it coming.
Amen.
Don't never turn back.
Amen.
Don't ever end up in a place to where how you feel like you're useless. A broken vessel, never end up there. You keep serving God. And don't, we've got in our hand that we get saved and then we'll go out in the world a while and come back. It ain't got to be that way. It wasn't meant to be that way. It was meant for us to get saved. Start getting cleaned up and the sanctification process go on us till we die. And then we're set up there in glory looking good. Sanctified as we possibly can be.
Amen.
So man will look down upon you when you're not living right. And men then will turn around and look down upon you when you're trying to live right.
Right.
Ain't you thankful that the one that's looking down on us is the one that can judge us.
Amen.
He's the only one that looked down on us.
Amen.
And he sees us for exactly what we are.
Yep.
I'm still on that wheel. I may have been a broken vessel once. But he's taken me and shaping me into something he can use. Still fine-tuning on me. I'm still not there yet. Every once in a while, I have to have a new plug put in or something. But he's working on me.
Yeah.
Dug me out of the ruins. And trying to make me into something he'd be pleased with. I want to finish with this right here. And I'll try to hush. Once again, a Psalm of David, 142nd. He said, I looked on my right hand. When you look to the right, what are you looking at?
We give a right hand of church fellowship. We always think those on the right are the righteous. I want to tell you, just because they say they're your brothers and sisters don't mean they'll always be there for you. Lee loved them Sauls. Them Sauls kept his family warm. They wasn't just something he looked down upon them. He used them even. He said, you got to cut wood fast because the gas will leak out of them faster to burn them. And we'd be cutting as hard as we could go. Them Sauls meant something to him. But then they finally become just useless to him, and he put them to the side. I want you to know, a lot of times, us, God's people do that. I've got as much confidence as some of these older preachers. I just love them. But if we're not careful, we just put them out to the side, out to graze. We want that young one, that new Saul, that new steel where you go out the other. I want you out that Shindawa, brother. That wood you fire up and she cuts that wood. That's what we're looking for. Them old ones still can be used. They've got a bunch of wisdom and a lot of work left in them. He looked on his right hand. He looked to the brethren, to the righteous is what he's saying. The Bible keeps blowing around. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man called or cared for my soul. Now, I'm not talking about his spiritual being saved or not. He was saved. Nobody cared for his life. Nobody didn't care nothing about him. He was a broken vessel. But listen what he done. I cried unto the Lord and I said, thou art my refuge. Thou art my portion in the land of the living. So today, if you consider yourself just a broken vessel, something that nobody cares about, know this. God cares. And if you allow Him, He'll take and begin to work on you. He'll tear you apart. It'll seem like it'll hurt sometimes. Yep. It won't be an easy road. You'll be laid out and you'll just feel like He's scattered everywhere at times. But then He'll start putting you back together. He'll prime you up. They'll reach down, pull that cord, and you'll fire right up. And next thing you'll know, you'll be serving the Lord. Next thing you know, you may have been like me out in the world, been called to preach and wouldn't do it. Next thing you know, you'll be standing for the Lord. Next thing you know, you'll be living a life that would be pleasing to Him. Next thing you know, all things will change. But if you ain't careful, then your brother-in-law will turn on you. But he'll still be your refuge. And then the land of the living will be your portion. It may not mean nothing to you. But when I get one of them old saws put back together, and I crank it up, and I go back there and find the shop, and I got wood piled up back there, and I go back there, and I drop it in there, and she'll, man, these wood chips start flying out there. A tear will come rolling out my eye. That's what he done for me. That's my message. A broken vessel. I am. But someday He's going to set me up on high. on that high shelf. And I'm going to shine like new money. And he's going to use me for eternity to give him honor and glory. I'll never fail him again. Never consider a broken vessel again. Never look down upon man again. That means something to me. Brother, if you got a soul, if you hear it,